Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bassler. The destruction of a major dam in the Dnieper River Valley in Ukraine dominates the news. For the questions about the counteroffensive launched by Kyiv, long promised, and the defenses arranged by the Russian forces, long promised, especially to protect Crimea. I read a statement from the German Chancellor, Olaf Scholz, after the news of the destruction of the dam came through to Berlin. This is something that fits in with many of the crimes we have seen committed by Russian soldiers in Ukraine. And it's part of a warfare that attacks civilian targets, towns, villages, hospitals, schools. That is Olaf Scholz speaking. On June 6, 2023, I'm certain that Germany bears the irony of these two dates, June 6 then, June 6 now. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, is here with me. And Gregory and I immediately thought of another attack of dams once upon a time. It was 80 years ago, just about in the spring of 1943. And at the time, it was regarded as a great success and heroic. And Gregory knows one of the veterans, or has known one of the veterans, of Squadron 617, the so-called Dam Busters. This was Operation Chastise, and the ambition in that part of the war, where Germany was not losing, was to damage the Ruhr Valley dams. There were several of them, and either limit or eliminate the ability of Germany's war machine to go forward in its mines and its manufacturing in the Ruhr Valley. It was successful, and at the time, all of these men were received as heroes. They certainly were. They lost 8 planes out of 24, I believe. Many were captured. They came in at 60 or 80 feet above the water and dropped a bomb that they'd specially built to skip along the surface of the reservoir and slam into the dam at a weak point. And they destroyed 3 or 4 dams. I lose count. But that was celebrated in London. And now, Gregory, the irony of warfare doesn't bear much reflection. But I was puzzled this morning that neither the London Times nor the London Telegraph had at least a side panel to remind everybody about the Dam Busters. Who did you know, Gregory? Tell me about the Squadron 317.
617 Squadron, 617. Yes. The Dam Busters. Yep. I knew Squadron Leader Lance Howard, who was an Australian who was flying with 617 on the raid, and I had him write a little piece for my magazine. This was when I was 13 years old, for my aviation magazine at the time for the Australian Air Force cadets. And it was about these special bombs, the bouncing bombs designed by Barnes Wallace, who was an aircraft designer. And these were ball-shaped bombs which were set in rotating motion before they were dropped, so that they, as the Lancaster bombers of 617 went in along the mass of the dam, the reservoir of the dam, and dropped their bombs, the bombs would then skip along the surface. And if you hit the water at the right place, they would, just before they got to the actual dam face, they would sink and blow up literally down the bottom, down the midsection of the dam. And that worked very, very well. Two dams, the Mon and the Eider, were breached, and the Sorpe was only minor damage. But this really was a major strategic blow to the industrial capacity of Germany, and literally contributed to shortening the war. And the and actually 617 went on to be a major squadron, still a major squadron in the Royal Air Force. They had Vulcan nuclear bombers. They now have, they went to Tornado strike fighters and the like. But now we see the Kakhovka Dam on the Dnieper damaged in a very similar way. But it was certainly done by emplaced explosives, and it must have been substantial amounts of explosives. And there is absolutely no clarity yet as to whether this was done by Ukrainian dissidents or by the Russians. I've put my money on the Russians, but we can't be sure. But it was a very substantial amount of explosives which caused this. And this is going to have a long-term impact on the hydroelectric production of Ukraine. And it will affect, possibly, the reality as to whether the nuclear reactor just downstream at the Zaporizhia reactor will be able to stay in operations, or whether that will have to be fully closed down. So the reduction in electrical power is going to be a profoundly important factor for Ukraine. We tend to think that what's important is this new offensive by Ukraine. Russia is thinking and acting long-term in this conflict. It has strategic depth and is demonstrating that. Ukraine is running out of resources. It, as I said to you once before, Ukraine will fight to the last US and allied dollar. It depends entirely on the US and the Europeans for weapons and money, and it's stealing, the leaders are stealing a lot of that money. They're losing a lot of respect. I mean, now it's come out in the Washington Post, among other places, that it was certainly Ukrainian special forces who blew up the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines in the Baltic, you know, in order to reduce Western Europe's ability to depend on Russia for natural gas. Now, this certainly served Ukraine well, because let's face it, Ukraine made most of its money by selling transit fees on selling Russian gas into Europe via pipelines through Ukraine. So it was a fairly self-serving move by the Ukrainians. And frankly, a lot of Europeans are getting fed up with this. And so we're going to see, yes, we're seeing some additional weapons going over from UK, Poland and the like to Ukraine. But these are very finite, and they're not, mostly not new weapons, apart from the British Storm Shadow air-launched cruise missiles. But this is not a war which can go on indefinitely, because Ukraine doesn't have the resources, and frankly, Ukraine's backers don't have the patience for the corruption and mismanagement of the war which Zelensky is presiding over. And the Ukrainian generals are now angry with President Zelensky. And if you saw some video of the off moments of the meeting between President Zelensky and the British Prime Minister recently, you saw Zelensky as a man with many nervous tics, with some seemingly, shall we say, medication-induced attributes with his ability to concentrate and the like. I think Zelensky knows he's on a losing match here, despite the bravado and the rhetoric and the insistence by the Biden White House that he continues with this war, when the reality is that they're going to have to come to a settlement in the near future, and it's probably going to be along the geographic lines we now see in place, with the Russians controlling the eastern portion down to and including Crimea. But some kind of face-saving device is going to have to be achieved to let Russia, Putin and Zelensky off the hook. And that's what the Chinese are trying to work on now. The problem is that Zelensky knows that unless it's very, very convincing, he better get out of Dodge very quickly, because the Ukrainian generals will hold him to account for the massive destruction of the country and the population, which they feel was unnecessary and could have been averted before the February start of hostilities in 2021.
We're told there's a counteroffensive which may or may not have started. I can't tell. Fog of war. Hmm. The counteroffensive is, as of yesterday, five axes, chiefly along the Donbass, looking to cut the land bridge between Russia and Crimea. Now, this is a vast territory, and moving in that vast territory, you're exposed to all kinds of attacks. And so what I only read, Gregory, I haven't been there and I haven't been in combat, is that this looks like the same moving, it looks like a stalemate that we've had for months to continue. And they certainly, the cutting of the dam or the breaching of the dam has flooded a whole part of Kherson province and made it very difficult for Ukraine to move into that part of the land bridge. So they've siphoned all the combat that's possible into a very narrow region from Zaporizhia to Luhansk, that area. Again, the weapon systems will leave us with a stalemate. There's this perception in some editorials that there's going to be a resolution. Do you see a resolution possible?
No, I didn't see a military resolution possible. Yes, there'll be minor ebbs and flows based on the input of some of these modern Western systems, but the Russians have the ability to keep pouring it in and pouring it on to the Ukrainians, and the Ukrainians don't have the manpower nor the long-term supplies of effective weapon systems. Some of the systems which the West is trying out, like the Storm Shadow long-range cruise missile, which the Brits have provided to Ukraine, that's interesting, but that's not enough to win the war. In fact, none of the things which are provided, including the F-16s, including the MiG-29s, are going to do it. In fact, I made a comment today to one Ukrainian that by the allied states like Poland and the like giving, and I say allied advisedly, giving MiG-29s to the Ukrainian Air Force, is it's just another means of reducing the number of pilots who will survive this war, because the MiG-29 is not going to hack it in the face of modern Russian air-to-air and surface-to-air missiles. So we're seeing this sort of dragging out and dragging out without any strategic thought. Yes, Ukraine can make some minor strikes into Russia. Yes, Russia can take out some infrastructure like the Kharkovka Dam, but it's reluctant to use what it could easily do, which is major city-destroying weapons, because that takes the war into an entirely new direction and actually reduces any prospect of a resolution. So we're seeing a situation which is not really positive in any shape or form.
Can we expect then by the end of summer that there will be no change on the battlefield? Is that reasonable?
Yeah, there'll be a little bit of change here and there, but we're essentially looking at the same situation, a stalemate. Unless President Putin drops dead all of a sudden, or the Ukraine president drops dead all of a sudden, they're unlikely to see a break in the pattern.
So the diplomats must come forward once the stalemate is exhausted. Is there a moment that both sides would have to acknowledge that there's no moving as the fall comes?
That's correct. Although what we see is the Biden White House continuing to insist that President Zelensky continues the war, and President Zelensky has no other option. Personally, the Ukrainian people have options, but at some stage, the Ukrainian military may themselves decide that President Zelensky needs to retire, and mend his broken nerves so that they can actually come to a peace agreement.
Gregory Copley, he is the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. Right now, it's fog of war in Ukraine. The dam is breached. The downstream villages are swept away. The pictures will be astonishing, but it won't bring us any closer to a resolution of the Ukraine war.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.